We've been looking at the life of Ayatollah Bahjat and the lessons that we can draw from his life. And before I continue, again a few ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this time let's look at another angle. Let's look at the rights of the teacher to be observed by the student. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there are three types of people whose rights none will deem lightly apart from the hypocrite or the munafiq whose hypocrisy is obvious. And the three people whose rights we have to honor in particular is the old person in Islam, the just leader and the teacher of good. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, it is a scholar's right. He says, min haqq al-alim alayka an tusallima ala al-qawmi amma, that you greet people in general as a whole, but single him out with your greeting. That you sit in front of him, that you do not point to him with your hand, nor make hints against him with your eyes, nor say, but so-and-so said in opposition to his statements, nor backbite anyone in his presence, nor whisper secrets to others in his gathering, nor pull on his robe, nor insist for him to continue if he is tired, nor show disinclination at the length of his speech, for indeed his talk is as a palm tree for which you should anxiously wait for something to fall from it to you. He also says, it is not part of the moral virtue of a believer that he should flatter or be jealous except in the quest for knowledge. Look at the ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about honoring a scholar. He says, he who goes forth to meet the scholars has indeed come forth to meet me. And he who visits the scholars has indeed visited me. And he who sits in the company of scholars has sat in my company. And whoever sits in my company is as though he has sat in the company of my Rabb. It's absolutely awesome. For the virtues of ulama, he says, al-ulama umana Allahi ala khalqi. The ulama are Allah's trustees over his creation. The superiority of the scholars over others is the superiority of the Prophet over his community. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, the scholars are the governors over people. So much emphasis on being able to honor knowledge, to gain knowledge, to practice on knowledge, and to teach it. Well, let's look at some of the fruits of wisdom that we can gather from Ayatollah Bahjat. Now, many times he was told, he was a physically very, very healthy person, and to live to the age of 96, with the health that he had and the work that he did, very often he was asked, Agha, how do you manage to keep so healthy? And he said, dates, milk, yogurt and olives. I keep healthy. And he said, my constant food is fasting. He said, this is tested and established. Absolutely awesome. And when people used to come to him for various problems, his answers were very, very simple. Let's look at some of the answers that he gave. For example, those who came to him and said, we feel like we've got bad vibes or evil eye or magic's been done on us. And he would say six things to them. He said, one, carry a small copy of the Quran with you. Two, he would say, recite 50 ayat loudly every day. Three, always recite ma'udhatain, that is, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. Recite Ayat Al-Kursi, four. Five, he would say, before you go to sleep, recite the four quls. The Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, and Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq. And he said, when Adhan is recited, recite Adhan with it loudly, and nothing will afflict you. All of it will be removed from you. If somebody was suffering from a difficult illness, he would say, give sadaqah multiple times, many times. He says, he would say, those who visit that person, recite Surah Al-Fatiha one times, two times, up to 70 times. He would say, take the person to ziyarah or recite the ziyarah from here with them. He would say, recite Haditha Kisa. Sacrifice an animal and distribute its meat to the poor. He would say, do the amal of Shab-e Qadr. You know, the amal where we recite the names of the ma'sumeen with the Qur'an, and we honor the Qur'an by placing it on our heads. And there's a beautiful dua that he taught. And he said, read it for the person. Allahumma, O Allah, ishfiha, if it's a woman, ishfiha, if it's a woman, ishfihu, bishifa'ik. Wadawiha bidawa'ik. وَآفِهَا بِآفِيَتِكَ. That means, oh Allah, make her better, give her shifa with your shifa. Cure her illness with your dawa, and grant her afiya, good health, with your afi. And he says, read it three times, and on the third one, add bil imam al-qadhim, with the wasila of imam al-qadhim, fa'innaha, for indeed she is amutaka wa bintu abdika. She is one who is connected to you, and the daughter of one who is connected with you. He was asked, Agha, what is your daily routine? What is the daily du'as that you read? We see you always reading du'as. And he would say, I read the four calls when I leave my home, and I say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ghayra umuri kullaha wa a'udhu bika min khizyi dunya wa adhabi akhira. He said, I ask Allah for the best in these days, and I take refuge from Him from the bad of the world and the punishment of the akhirah. Would be asked, what do we recite when we lose something? And he would say, again and again recite, Asbahtu fi amanillah wa amsaytu fi jawarillah. Read it again and again, repeat it till you find it. Little things. When he was asked for guidelines, that how do we get ourselves to sort of the station that you are at? And he would say, take one hadith on jihad al-nafs every day, on the struggle with the soul, and read it. And then act upon it and read it again and again and again. And when he was asked, you know, he was attributed to have loads of spiritual powers. And spiritual powers means when the human being's perception is sharpened. For example, there were students who would say that he would answer our questions before we even asked them. There was a particular person who said, when I went to visit him, he told him, you will be blessed with a son, namely Muhammad Hassan. He said, how did Agha know that my wife was pregnant and that she was going to have a son? Oh, so many things, so many incidents are reported like that. So when he was asked, how do we develop this ability of being able to develop our sixth sense, to develop irfan in us, he would give simple advice. He would say, learn Sharia, learn religion and act on it, and then avoid committing sins. He would say very simple things like read the Quran, pray Salah on time, keep away from sins. And then he was told, give us something new, give us something different. We know all this, we try, we learn Sharia, we act on it, we avoid committing sins. And to one student he said, okay, let me tell you what you did yesterday. And he mentioned the things that this person did. And the person said, but I didn't realize, I didn't even think of those things as wrong. And he said, even looking at someone in a bad way, even looking down at someone, all these are sins, avoid them. And then he was asked, teach us one zikr that will help us to avoid sins. And he said, again and again, recite tasbihat arba, subhanallahi, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallahu, wallahu akbar. And again he stressed, pray awwalul waqt, pray at the time of salah. And I think one of the best bits I love, absolutely adore, I just love it, is the sentence where he says, make sure that the knowledge you have is not more than its practice. And make sure you don't practice anything without knowledge. I thought that was absolutely awesome. And as far as Salatul Tahajjud goes, or Salatul Layl or Namaz-e-Shab, he would say, I believe that it was through the acts of Salatul Layl and staying awake between dawn and sunrise that the Prophet achieved his ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, he used to say that one of the best dhikr, one of the best recitations, which is also can be kept secret because it can be done without moving the lips, is tahleel al-dhikr, which is la ilaha illallah. And that will combat the waswas, the whispering of shaitan into the human being's ears. So much, so much. Hopefully, we will read more about the ulama, take lessons from their lives, and honor them as they ought to be honored. And the way to honor an ulama is to be able to follow the advice that he has given from the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant Ayatullah Bahjat the higher stations of closeness to him, and may we be able to follow the pearls of wisdom that the ulama have left behind.